WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Vicki Barker. Some high-profile Democrats circling the wagons around President Biden. CBS's Leah Mishkin reports.
The governors have his back.
Multiple Democratic state governors closed ranks around President Joe Biden after meeting with him at the White House Wednesday.
President Joe Biden is in it to win it. And all of us said we pledged our support to him.
It comes as the president works to reassure his fellow Democrats of fitness for office after last week's poor debate performance, which he addressed in a radio interview yesterday.
I had a bad night. I screwed up. I made a mistake. That's 90 minutes on stage. Look at what I've done in 3.5 years.
It's election day in Britain, and after 14 years of Conservative Party rule, this voter says what the opinion polls have been reflecting.
The Conservatives have got to go. They've just done so much damage, and they should have never even been there in the first place.
The left-leaning opposition Labour Party is expected to win by a landslide. The Lebanese militant group Hezbollah says it's fired more than 200 rockets at military installations in northern Israel after Israel killed one of its commanders. CBS's Holly Williams reports.
Israel says the commander was responsible for firing rockets into Israel from Lebanon. Hezbollah, like Hamas, is backed by Iran. And since the October 7th attacks, there's been an uptick in sometimes deadly tit-for-tat fire along Israel's northern border with Lebanon.
Storm Beryl, now a Category 3 hurricane, has the Cayman Islands in its sights. Kenneth Bryan is the tourism minister there.
Fire, our police, our regiment, our coast guards, everybody's readying themselves. The community has been putting themselves together, working with the hardware stores and the supermarkets and getting prepared for any food, goods, water. They're also securing their properties, boarding up the windows.
The storm's path could take it to South Texas by the weekend. Around Oroville in Northern California.
Raging flames have consumed more than 3,500 acres. And firefighters tell us this fire is 0% contained. The fire is so out of control, 28,000 people were forced to evacuate.
CBS's Elise Preston reporting. A 4th of July tradition since the year 1916, CBS's Steve Overmeyer gives us a preview of this year's Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Championship.
We have no idea who's going to win, but there's at least 4 to 5 and even 2 women who could be rising to the champion level of the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Competition. They're all eating at around the same level of hot dogs.
16-time champion Joey Chestnut's staying away. Why? Well, he's signed an endorsement deal with a vegan hot dog company. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden tells Civic Media's Earl Ingram he knows exactly what he means when Donald Trump remarked about what he called black jobs during last week's debate.
He's talking about black jobs, meaning all the things that blacks can do are manual labor, menial labor. That's what he's doing. That's how he looks at it.
You can hear Earl's entire interview with President Biden Thursday morning between 8 and 10 across the Civic Media Radio Network. The long holiday weekend starts with some long car rides for many in Wisconsin. Here's Savannah Tomei Olson.
AAA expects we'll set a new record here with 1.6 million people traveling in the Badger State. Remember to check 511. Construction projects are paused across the state, but there may still be lane closures in work zones.
Savannah Tomei Olson reporting. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Brewers shut out the Rockies. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with a 3-0 win over the Rockies. It's the crew's first shutout victory in Colorado since 2005. Christian Yelich with another home run and being named a starter in the upcoming All-Star game.
Yeah, not a bad day and a win, you know. So all in all, a pretty good day. We'll always take that and
You know, great job from the guys.
Catcher William Contreras, also named a starter for the National League team. Colin Ray pitching 7 scoreless innings, and the crew making a trade to get some help in the bullpen. They send minor league infielder Gregory Barrios to Tampa Bay for 29-year-old right-hander Aaron Civale. He'll likely be in the starting rotation. NBA, the Milwaukee Bucks have signed a free agent from the Lakers. It's small forward Taurean Prince, 6'5", 30 years old, averaged about 9 points a game in 78 appearances last year for Los Angeles, where he played for Darvin Ham, now an assistant coach for Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Partly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms likely today, especially this afternoon. And there could be some heavy rain today into tonight. 1 to 1.5 inches or more of rain possible through tomorrow. Our high today, 81. Tonight, 62. Tomorrow's high, 68. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, it is the 4th of July. We are off, but we do have a specially curated best of special for you tomorrow. I hope you'll join us.
Matt and Air on air, weekday mornings at 10. This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. From our Lake Wasota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Good morning and welcome back to Up North News Radio on Abashedly Wisconsin and brought to you by Courier Newsroom and carried by our friends on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's 7:06 and nice to have you here up north. On this Independence Day morning, we're taking time this morning to revisit some conversations you might have missed or might like to catch again. And we're going to start with the importance of civics education. Raya Musavi of Eau Claire spoke with us about winning the first ever Wisconsin Civics Bee and what she learned and what she'd like to do with that knowledge. Let's give a listen back to our conversation about a week ago with Raya Musavi of Eau Claire. And Raya, good morning. Thank you for being here today.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure because, again, we find this to be an extremely important topic, one that does not get talked about nearly enough, where we talk about the celebrity culture and sports and so many things like that. So what grades are you in between here from DeLong Middle School? You're 13, right?
Yep. I'm going into eighth grade.
Going into eighth grade. Okay. Let's go through the Civics Bee first. When did you first hear about it and decide that it was something you thought you might like to take part in?
So I heard about the Civics Bee from one of my teachers, and she was just handing out posters to the class. And I took a look and I thought, well, if you get to discuss like a issue in your community, and then you have an opportunity to get like prizes and get into the competition. Well, I just thought that would be a great opportunity.
Yeah, it does. It sounds like a fantastic opportunity. There, you know, was an essay portion and the answering of trivia questions. Do you want to give a little credit to that teacher and you know what you've been learning about from your teacher there?
Well, the teachers who encouraged us to participate in the Civics Bee. So one of them was my English teacher, and she kind of introduced the Civics Bee to students. And then another teacher was DeLong's instructional coach, Beth Gray. And she really helped out the students who wanted to do the Civics Bee. And she really encouraged all of her students to write an essay, and then they had the option to submit it or not. So,
and so let's talk about civics and civics instruction and what you've picked up so far. First off, whether you're explaining it to your parents or explaining it to you know, kids in elementary school about what to expect in middle school. How do you tell them what civics is, what civics courses are, and what they're about?
Well, we don't have any well-established civics courses, but in social studies, in seventh grade, we have a political science unit, but I'd say that's more about the basic structure of the U.S. government and not really involving civics. But to explain civics to someone else, I would say it's kind of the interaction between people and their government and how citizens can be involved and how politics work. So
sounds spot on to me, because it's a theme that I hit a lot. I mean, we talk about civic engagement, but really that's just another way of saying participation. And Raya, and we're talking to Raya Mousavi, the first winner of Wisconsin's Civics Bee. When we talk about participation, a lot of people immediately think of voting. And that's fine. That's at the heart of democracy. But there's more than one way to participate in the way that your government works, local, at the local level, state level, federal level. Do you feel like you've got a better appreciation for the ways that just anybody can be a bit more involved in how their government works?
Yeah, for sure. And I feel like doing the Civics Bee and writing my essay and just being a little more involved with civics, I've learned a lot about our local government and even like the federal government and how that all functions. And I've also learned that, like you said, there are other ways to be engaged in civics other than just voting. So I think actually, it's sometimes more influential to advocate for something at a more local level, because it's really hard to get actions done at the federal level. So if you really want something done locally, just in your community, and you think you can do something about it, then I'd just say advocating for whatever it is you want to achieve, and then trying to get other people who agree with you, and then you can start talking to local policymakers, and then that's really a great way to be engaged and work towards your goals.
We're talking to the winner of Wisconsin's first Civics Bee, Raya Mousavi, part of a partnership. The contest was with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce Foundation. And so Raya took part in that, and the DeLong Middle School student was competing against seven other finalists from around the state. By winning, she'll represent Wisconsin in the first ever National Civics Bee National Championship this fall in Washington, D.C. And then when they talk about answering various civics trivia questions, can you give us an example of one or two that either you got or one or two that you studied for and wanted to be ready for?
Well, the types of questions that I studied for, going off of the first two rounds in the regionals, I noticed that there were, in our study guide, it gave us lists of different information to learn. And I noticed that in the regionals, there were a lot of questions about court cases and laws and acts and then amendments. So that's mainly what I focused on. And the questions at state were a little more difficult because they were like, even if you knew the information, you still had to think about it. It was like really elaborating on the material we had to study and connecting different systems and the knowledge we had of how government and civics work. So
would you, if you'd indulge me so that, you know, we're both just going to nerd out together for a minute here. Of all those things that you had to study, would you say that there was any one particular thing that you found most intriguing that you were like, that is really cool, I didn't know that? And the example that I'd give when you talk about cases, amendments, laws, things like that, is that I don't think until recently, especially because of the Dobbs decision, I think a lot of people thought that certain things were already in the law, but they weren't in the law. They were law because of a Supreme Court decision, but they weren't necessarily a law that was passed by Congress. And something that the Supreme Court passes one year, they could take away somewhere down the road unless you write it into federal law. So it's those little things that you learn about government that I find interesting. And I wondered if there was anything that, as you were studying, you went, that's cool, I did not know that before I started studying this.
Yeah, well, I agree with your point. I think that is really interesting to think about. And overall, one thing I learned that wasn't necessarily in the material, but one reason the Civics Bee even exists is because there were some really odd statistics about how apparently 50% of Americans, they couldn't explain like the three branches of our government, and they couldn't name one Supreme Court justice. And I just thought that was crazy as well. That was really interesting to hear. So I'm glad we're doing more for civic engagement, and we have some new programs available to get students educated early on.
And Raya, you are speaking my language as far as, you know, to help. Part of the reason that Civic Media was founded, these radio stations, part of why Up North News was founded along with Courier Newsroom, was just to increase that base of civic knowledge so that people would think of themselves as smarter voters and not be intimidated by civics, but actually feel empowered the more that they learn about how their government works. And by the way, quick disclaimer for the listeners, you'll notice that in all of this, we didn't get into party politics. This isn't about Democrats, Republicans, anything like that. This is every American citizen, every participant in democracy has some value for the position that they bring into their activism, whether it's as a candidate, as a volunteer, whatever. So Raya, having won the Wisconsin Civics Bee for the first time, I know, again, at 13, you got a little time here, but what are you thinking about in the future? What things interest you as potential careers down the road?
Well, I have a lot of interests and a lot of different career paths that I would love to choose. But for now, I'm thinking something that I've also wanted for a while, for as long as I can remember. I've always thought I would like to be a teacher. So I'd say that's one of my main career interests.
I could not think of any better way to go forward and take that base of civics knowledge and carry it through and help other people appreciate government, appreciate service in one form or another as a voter, as a participant, as an advocate, or as a teacher. Raya Mousavi from DeLong Middle School in Eau Claire won Wisconsin's first Civics Bee and will be competing in Washington, D.C. this fall. Raya, it was a real pleasure to meet you. Congratulations, and we wish you all the best in D.C. later this year.
Thank you.
You're up north.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Ooh, ma.
What was that?
That is Business Phone Bliss with the Ooma Cloud phone system. It handles all our voice, video, and messaging needs.
You sound very...
calm. I am. Ooma has everything I need to run my business more efficiently, like virtual receptionist, call routing, and video conferencing. And it starts at just $19.95 per month per user, plus taxes and fees.
Ooma.
Nice. Find your business comm at ooma.com/radio.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. 120,000 miles of night drives, daily commutes, and who knows how many.
Are we there yet?
Through countless fixes, elbow grease, and a new radiator, you kept your ride alive. With eBay Motors, you have over 122 million parts to keep it running. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, they'll be the perfect fit every time. Plus, at these prices, well, we're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matinee on Air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Time for our homeroom segment, and a pretty simple statement from me. If you are interested in preserving democracy, you need to preserve and enhance civics education, because it's what gives you an informed citizenry that appreciates government, appreciates its functions. But to do that, you've got to have strong civics education programs, support the teachers, the materials, everything that they need. So this week in our homeroom segment, to tell us all about it, we're joined by Kate Ullman, who is with the Wisconsin Civic Learning Coalition. She's a founder and co-chair, and co-chair Michael Blau joins us as well. Kate, you're in the Ashland area, right?
That's correct.
And Michael, you are where?
I'm calling in from the Madison area.
All right. Good to have you both here. Kate, you know, the website that you have here, civicswi.org, starts out quite cleanly. Civics education is the bedrock of democratic decision making. What's that based on? Why do you say that?
Well, I think that if you look back at the history of public schools in the United States, one of the major purposes of public education is to create an informed citizenry so we can govern ourselves through a democracy. And so I think that, you know, that's widely shared as a belief across the political spectrum, that that's a critical role. It's not the only purpose of our schools, but it's really a critical purpose of public education.
And Michael, along that same point, it is so easy, we learned until, you know, about 8 years ago or so, it is so easy to take democracy for granted, that what we have here will always be here. Even though we know we had a civil war and we know we've gone through strife, and yet we always assume, well, everything will be fine in the end. And I think more than ever, we've learned looking at other countries, that isn't necessarily so. And I'm not saying that to be pessimistic, but Michael, I think people see the value in a civics education more than ever as a result of recent events.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I have a 12-month-old baby boy at home. And, you know, I think about this often now, is there are students and children being born in hospitals all around America that will live to see the 22nd century, right? The next century. And what form of government will we leave them? What kind of land will they live in? And, you know, those are open questions. I think in a lot of our minds, and we have seen a pretty substantial decrease in younger generations being able to identify the essential need of democratic decision making, of constitutional knowledge, and a constitutional form of government, and the kind of bedrock principles that undergird all of that rule of law. And I do think that it's something, you know, we really do have to make the case for democracy. Especially for the younger generation, because we have disinvested from public education, from civic education especially, and we do not prioritize it, recognize it, or incentivize it in the same way that we have in the past, actually, and the way that we should and need to.
Kate, I'm going to make an overtly political comment in order to set you up for the nonpartisan aspect of this. But one of the most infuriating things I've heard over the past few months was when Senator Ron Johnson said something about liking the fact that the current Congress was not productive, basically saying in so many words, well, if we were just here to pass bills, we'd be like Democrat light. And it was just infuriating, because it doesn't matter who's in power. the whole point of being in government service is to serve, is to do, to recognize problems, to solve them and things like that. And it just tells me that, again, you are looking, as it says on your website, to strengthen nonpartisan civics and government education in schools. All is to say, Kate, that government service is not, and functional government service is in no way a partisan act.
Yeah, I think that's a really critical part of our work and something that we have worked hard from the start and, you know, continue to focus on building a coalition that is very diverse geographically, politically, economically, racially, so that what we're doing is bringing together people from all across the state, all different types of people from all parts of the political spectrum who just, you know, support the basic idea that we should strengthen civics education, because we really do fundamentally believe that it is a nonpartisan goal to teach our young people about democracy and about sort of the foundations of democracy that Michael mentioned, but also, you know, about how to be an effective citizen and the skills that they need later in life. And actually even immediately as young people to participate in their communities in a whole variety of different ways. And, you know, so civic engagement, it goes beyond voting. And so I think that we, you know, like you said, it's problematic if civics education is seen as something that is partisan. But luckily in our state, I actually think we're well positioned because there have been strong voices on both sides of the aisle at the state level supporting civics education in our schools. So I think that, you know, at this moment, we're in a position where in Wisconsin, it's not seen as a partisan position to say that you want to strengthen civic learning.
I think that it would not necessarily be oversimplistic to say that the point of civics education is so that there is civic engagement by all of us, of the whole part of the whole reason we started Up North News, part of the whole reason that you know, Sage Weil and others started Civic Media was all about civic engagement, which Michael is not just voting. It's really, you know, democracy as a participatory sport.
Well, for the listeners, I guess to start on that point, I do think it'd be wonderful for you to be able to go to the WCLC website and learn a little bit about some of the civic organizations that exist in Wisconsin. Once you have an experience of engaging, not just in like a, you know, a volunteer way or just like you would with a food drive one-off, how you experience democracy by doing democracy, by collaborating, by working with others, and by compromising and on a base understanding of rules and principles, constitutional norms, those types of things, that sticks with you for the rest of your life. And I say that as a product of We the People, as I said. But there's tons of great organizations and great work to plug into, and knowing about it is the first step.
Kate, from a civics education standpoint, can you kind of give us a feel for what does beginning civics look like? What grade level? What are they learning about in the earliest forms of civics education? And then what does it look like? What's the best possible model for it to look like when those little kids become high school graduates?
That's a really great question. And it's something that our coalition is focusing on this year, because we want to make sure that people don't see civics education as only a high school government class. That really it's something that happens K-12, and it can happen across different content areas as well, because a lot of the skills that students need to be civically engaged are skills that they can start learning really young and that they can learn in a whole variety of different content areas. So that just includes really basic things that young kids can do in the classroom, working together with all of their peers so that they can learn to get along and navigate their disagreements. And, you know, that's going to look different in a kindergarten classroom than in a high school classroom. But ideally, by the time students are in high school, they're able to really dig into weighty issues together because they've developed those skills to, you know, navigate disagreement with civility, which is just one of the core things that we all need to be effectively participating in any kind of civic engagement, whether that's at the school board level or with your community and talking about political issues or as a voter.
Navigate.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Navigate disagreements with civility. Somebody carve that puppy in stone, because that's that's really what we need such a refresher in, Kate. Michael Blau and Kate Ullman from the Wisconsin Civic Learning Coalition, thank you so much. You're up north.
This is 93.5 The Tap. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Busted Pencils.
Fully leaded education talk.
Our guest, Jonathan Gurko. Deliberative dialogue in democracy isn't winning an argument.
Instead of how do we win and end the conversation, how do we keep it going? How do I listen in a way on the assumption that someone else has something that I can learn from that will improve my point of view so that we can grow? To me, that's the democratic project.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightline with Pete Schwaba.
Most of my angst comes from the grocery store. I end up behind that person with the checkout line trifecta of coupons, lottery tickets, and writing a personal check. Another checkout person comes and says, I can take someone on aisle 3. Who should be the first person they take? The next person in line, right? Where I am, it's a free-for-all. It's like roller derby. It didn't infuriate me, but I was kind of like, whatever.
Nightline with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us. It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
Project 2025, it's going to drastically change democracy. We did have a text from Lynn. She says, well, Jane and Greg, you are scaring me. I'm not trying to scare you, Lynn. I'm trying to make sure everybody understands what this would do. And it's scary, especially when we're talking about firing more than 50,000 civil employees and replace them with people who will just do what Trump wants. So Jared Kushner apparently is qualified to do everything.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
CBS News brief. After a White House huddle with President Biden, Democratic governors say they'll stand by their man despite that debate performance.
I had a great conversation with the president. Obviously, we, like many Americans, we're worried. We're worried because of the threat of a Trump presidency is not theoretical for governors. We've served when Donald Trump was president.
Minnesota Governor Tim Walz. Britons are voting in an election that polls suggest will end more than a decade of Conservative Party rule.
I'm optimistic. I think it's been a pretty dreadful 10, 12, 14 years.
The left-leaning opposition Labour Party is expected to win by a landslide. After wreaking havoc in the southeastern Caribbean, what's Hurricane Beryl up to next?
The storm will set its sights on the Cayman Islands and the Yucatan Peninsula. That's where experts say it could lose some steam.
CBS's Tom Hansen in Jamaica. Beryl could chart a path to South Texas over the weekend. CBS News Brief, I'm Vicki Barker.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Calls are ramping up again for money to clean up PFAS pollution in Wisconsin. Lisa Hale reports.
Governor Tony Evers is turning up the pressure on state lawmakers to release $125 million for PFAS pollution cleanup.
It could be released today if the Joint Finance Committee wanted to do that. For some reason, they seem that it, in their world, it is more important for them to make no one accountable for this.
Lawmakers are countering that the governor vetoed their plan to spend that money. I'm Lisa Hale.
Wisconsin is getting $49 million to boost its biohealth industry. Wisconsin aims to create 30,000 biotech jobs and become a global leader in personalized medicine in the next decade. That's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The 4th of July typically means a big weekend at the summer box office. This year should not disappoint. Opening this weekend is Disney Pixar's Despicable Me 4, which is expected to be the film that finally knocks off Inside Out 2 from the top spot. The most recent installment is pulling a not-quite-fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes, but the franchise has enough street cred with audiences to put the butts in the seats. Despicable Me 4 stars Steve Carell, Kristen Wiig, and Miranda Cosgrove. Another highly anticipated opening is Maxine, a film about a young, aspiring actress in 1980s Hollywood that gets drawn into the world of adult films, all while a serial killer haunts the LA streets. If you want to watch a moving picture from the comfort of your own home, Eddie Murphy stars in Beverly Hills Cop, Axel F., which is now available to stream on Netflix. The film is receiving a fresh rating from Rotten Tomatoes and has some of the same old cast members, including Judge Reinhold and John Ashton, and has added a fresh face in Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Have fun at the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Partly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms likely today, especially this afternoon. And there could be some heavy rain today into tonight, an inch to an inch and a half or more of rain possible through tomorrow. Our high today, 81. Tonight, 62. Tomorrow's high, 68. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp, 62.
Where do grown-ups go in the water park capital of the world? Well, go to a water park. You'll find one nearly everywhere you go. Go relax in a cabana. Go golfing. Going for a nice dinner? Oh, go for the special. Go for the weekend. Heck, why not go for the whole week? Go to a show. Go shopping. Go tour a winery. Wow, we're really on the go. Say, I could go for a beer. Need a day at the spa? Go for it. Wisconsin Dells, it's go time. Plan your grown-up getaway at wisdells.com.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
Pete Schwabba.
Friday on Nightlight, I welcome comedian and syndicated columnist Greg Schwemm. And I'm joined by host of Max Inc. Radio here on Civic Media, our favorite Friday friend, Terry Barr.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Let your boys be country. Let them keep that red dirt on his boots.
All right, this is normally the point where we bring in Hans Breitenmoser and a guest, but if you missed us talking about it earlier, well, with the rain coming in and everything, Hans was actually up until past 4 a.m. helping a neighbor get their crop of hay off before the rains came, which, you know, our guest, Bryce Luchterhand, is no stranger to. And so, yes, we told Hans absolutely to go get some sleep. Bryce and I can definitely take it from here. Bryce and I have known each other for some time here, going back to his time working with former Governor Jim Doyle as his director of his northern office. He has done so much for former Senator Herb Kohl, for Senator Tammy Baldwin, for former President Clinton, serving on the as state director of the Farmers Home Administration and USDA Rural Development, and of course has done plenty on his own with everything from cattle to bees to fruit trees to maple syrup. And Bryce, I don't have to ask, you know, how old you are, because whatever it is, you're going to look way too young for it, because I'm sure you're still staying active in many of these things. Bryce, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. I am doing well, and fortunately, I got my hay in yesterday afternoon, so I didn't have to stay up till 4 a.m., but I can certainly understand the desire to get that stuff done.
Oh, my gosh, yes. I mean, again, you can only do what you're given to work with, you know, weather-wise, and I'm just pulling up right now last week's USDA crop report, and it said for last week, there are only 3.3 days suitable for field work because of wet fields. It's so weird that we were talking drought last year, and now topsoil moisture is less than 50% adequate and a little more than 50% surplus. First cutting of hay is 90% complete, second cutting at 22%, and the hay condition is pretty good. But again, like Hans told us a couple of weeks back, I mean, this and everything else, you are just at the mercy of the weather and when it wants to show up. And I mean, you know that going in, but that doesn't make it any easier.
No, you know, and Pat, it's kind of a good lead in. Hans and I were going to talk about agriculture in Ukraine. Here, we only have to worry about the weather. There, in about 20% of their farmland, prime farmland, they not only have to worry about the weather, they have to worry about landmines, sophisticated landmines that now go off with seismic activity. You don't have to step on them, you just have to step close to them. And they spray fragments for 30 yards in every direction. Combine that with a constant drone above, possible rocket attacks, drone attacks. It is a mess. They feel that they have lost 84,000 pieces of farm equipment in the Ukraine. So that now they don't even have the machinery left. It's a disaster. So we feel pretty confident, even when you can't get out on the field here, at least you're safe.
Yeah, you don't have that kind of a hazard that nobody there asked for. Nobody asked for their big neighbor and former conqueror to try to come in and conquer them again. So for those Ukrainians who have been looking to leave, we talked to you February of last year about a program called Welcome Connect that allows potential sponsors and Ukrainians to meet online and participate in the U.S. Immigration Department's Uniting for Ukraine program. At the time, you were starting this by sponsoring a family of four, a husband and wife, and two little boys. So we thought this is a good chance to connect with you and see how things are going with that family and with the program and, you know, how people can learn more. So let's start at the top there. How are things with you and your guests?
Well, the family's names are Mikola and Alyssa, are the husband and wife. And Roman is a six-year-old boy, now just completed first grade. He was absolutely delighted and proud to come home and show us his certificate, showing that he's going to be in the second grade next year. Dimitro is a four-year-old cyclone, to be honest with you. And it's really, it's kind of challenging. He's everywhere all the time. And of course on the farm, that's kind of dangerous, but he's getting the hang of it. So when he sees a machinery, he runs and sits on the porch. But it's been a couple wrinkles in the process. They are here on what's called a humanitarian parole program with the United Ukraine program. Humanitarian parole is a two-year visa of sorts, but it does not, and it allows the people to come here. They may not leave the United States. They can travel anywhere they want to in the United States. They have a work permit, so they can get jobs. They're signed up with the Social Security so that their Social Security deductions are taken into the account. But there is no pathway for citizenship under a humanitarian parole. So we are we're aggressively looking for a way to get these folks an opportunity to become citizens of the United States. They would like very much to have that happen, but the red tape is in the way. So, and humanitarian parole is normally allowed for only 1 2-year period. Now, because of the Ukrainian war, it has now been extended for a second 2-year period. So these folks will now be allowed to stay until April of 25, I believe, 27. But after that, they would need to go back unless something else is done. And incidentally, your earlier piece was talking about past President Trump. He has already indicated that he would like to send everybody that's on the humanitarian parole program back to whatever country that they're coming from. Now we have learned that there's a program called the Temporary Protective Services. That can be renewed. That's another 2-year program. And the our family ran into a piece of really good luck in that the U.S. government puts out program where they allow 50,000 green card. It's a lottery. It's what it is. It's a lottery. So you have to put your name in. If your name gets pulled out as one of those 50,000 every year, you have an opportunity to apply for a green card. And that is fortunately McCullough's name got drawn. And so as of October, now they're going to be watching every month to see if their number comes up. If their number comes up, then they can submit their application, and hopefully they'll be able to get a green card. If you get a green card, then you can apply for citizenship. It's kind of nerve-wracking, but it's exciting and it's rewarding.
And it goes to show again that, look, immigrants, refugees, migrant laborers come in every flavor, every color, every style and shape. And so to have somebody like a Donald Trump painting them with such a broad brush as, you know, well, they're all, you know, criminals, are all vermin, they're all poisoning the blood, et cetera, et cetera. And we already know Donald Trump's stance when it comes to Vladimir Putin and the war in Ukraine, that when he talks about ending these kinds of, you know, humanitarian parole designations and things, you quite literally are advocating sending people back to almost certain death, whether it's to Central America or to a war zone in Ukraine or someplace else. And for a guy like him to say, well, you know, our views were full, you know, no, we're not. And we've got the labor shortage to prove it. You've got all these avenues to fix things, but now we all have to make a decision. Are we going to try to fix some of this red tape? Or are we just going to shut it down? And it's got to put you and that family and other people in a very tenuous and uncomfortable position between now and November.
Well, of course, the effort between now and November is to make sure that Trump doesn't get reelected. But, you know, it's interesting that the family pays attention, they don't want to become involved in the political scene at all. They want to, they're aggressively pursuing avenues of work. Alyssa has taken courses already to become a nurse, and she'll be a very good one if that finally comes to fruition. And McCullough continues to work as a maintenance guy. Here's a fellow with a master's degree and had been a regional director of an insurance company, is now working in maintenance in the pork factory. You know, it is amazing to see how these people work and the circumstances that they work under. But look at the talent that is in this country in the form of refugees. Just in this area, in Colby area, we have a Chinese family that runs a very profitable, nice little restaurant in Colby. Our farming program here would collapse tomorrow if all of the Mexican immigrants were sent back. And then you have a great example here of a Ukrainian family that is contributing to, first of all, to our social security system, which is going on the rocks, and they'll never get anything out of that, but to the economy as a whole. It's unfathomable to hear Trump talk in the way he does.
Yeah, and will continue to, and that's where I think it's important to hear other voices, and I'm really glad to hear yours talking all about it. And again, for folks that want to learn more, the Welcome Connect program, you can learn more at welcome.us as a way to be a bridge to safety for people seeking refuge in the U.S. from all over the world. You can simply go there and learn more and potentially be a part of that. Bryce, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you to put your Capitol staffer hat back on. We had the news story earlier this morning that tragic death of an employee at Lincoln Hills happened in part because Republicans in the legislature continue to block funding to help resolve problems at Lincoln Hills. You know that they're also blocking money for PFAS contamination, for Chippewa Valley hospitals, for reading and literacy programs. The Doyle administration also had to deal with a Republican majority-led legislature, and yet maybe hindsight isn't 2020. Maybe it's got rose-colored glasses. It wasn't an easy relationship, but I sure don't recall it being this bad to the point of actual human tragedy.
Well, you know, Robin Voss has been getting continuously more strident in the desire to run the government. He can't become governor because nobody would elect him, but he thinks he can do it as the champion in Madison. But you know, fast forward to August, to the August, I think it's the 13th, is the primary day, or is the election day, there are two questions on the ballot that address this very same question of who is going to control money coming from the federal government. And those two amendments to our Constitution need to be defeated, because it would throw a monkey wrench into the entire process of emergency aid or aid coming to the state through the federal government.
It's something that we're going to hit a lot between now and then, and I'm really glad you brought it up as well, of what a sneak attack this would be and how it would hold up even more money designed to help and benefit the state of Wisconsin. Bryce Lechterhan, thank you so much for the update on Welcome Connect, and best of luck with your family and with everybody else there. Take care.
My pleasure. Thank you, Pat.
You're up next.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
The celebration of Independence Day, the adoption of the Declaration of Independence on July 4th, 1776, has a rich history in Wisconsin, too. The holiday commemorates the freedom from British rule for 13 colonies. Is Wisconsin one of those original colonies? The answer coming up. Ringing cowbells and dancing. Residents in Watertown understood the importance of July 4th and held one of the earliest Independence Day celebrations in 1840. Captain Nicholas brought news of Independence Day when he docked at the end of Pearl Street in La Crosse and hosted a celebration in 1846. So now, does the 1776 Declaration of Independence from British rule include Wisconsin? No. Documents show Wisconsin was part of British territory, but so far to the west at that time, there's no impact. Wisconsin instead pushed forward to become a state in 1848. A slice of your 4th of July Wisconsin history. I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, the Chippewa Valley's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
All right, well, We heard from a true future VIP here in Wisconsin with the winner of the Wisconsin Civics Bee. And you heard her talk about how there's more to civic engagement than just voting. Now, you can always step it up from there and vote more often and vote in every election. But there's also, you know, donating. There's donating money. There's donating time. And there's outright advocacy. And we saw a note about research that had been done and was being shared about Wisconsin attitudes toward affordable daycare by a group called the Campaign for a Family-Friendly Economy. We were shared on that information by Corrine Hendrickson, who's been a tireless advocate for affordable child care in Wisconsin. And we are very fortunate to have Sandra Goldschein here now from the Campaign for a Family-Friendly Economy to learn more about that. Sandra, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. I am good. Thanks for having me on today.
Yeah, nice to have you here as well. So let's start with the basics of what the Campaign for a Family-Friendly Economy is, both from a national and from a Wisconsin standpoint.
Absolutely. So the Campaign for a Family-Friendly Economy is fighting for a future where all people can afford to take care of themselves and care for their loved ones while earning a living. And this year, we are working to elect leaders across the country, leaders like Senator Baldwin and President Biden, who support policies that lower costs for families. That's policies like affordable childcare, what you were just talking about, as well as paid family and medical leave and significant investments in care, home and community-based care for the aging and the disabled.
So the response that you hear often from the right side of the political spectrum is, you know, why these should be priorities for government. Why should government be, you know, helping out with daycare affordability and paying for people to take time off from their jobs? And I'm sure that your research and other attitudes really come back to the investments that you make in family infrastructure are good for the economy writ large. Is that the main response, or what else do you say to folks who say, why would government be involved in these kinds of family issues?
So it's really interesting. When we talk to folks, and you know, the research that you were talking about was a project that we embarked on with a firm called Grow Progress, we were really interested in learning more and understanding more about people's attitudes about the government's role in ensuring affordable childcare. And so we did some research and asked that question. And what we found was that there was an overwhelming number. It was about 77%. That believe that the government should be making childcare more affordable for families. And that lines up with what we've been seeing in other research. And so there's a real trend emerging in people believing that government has a responsibility to ensure childcare, affordable childcare for people. And we did that research in Wisconsin, as well as Pennsylvania and Montana. And I think that shows the divide between what people expect in terms of getting the tools and opportunities that they need to both, as I said, take care of their families and earn a living. We see politicians across the country really take things like childcare for granted and don't consider how interconnected it is with a person's individual economic prospects. And that's where I think we get into this idea of the care economy. You know, the unpaid and paid labor services that make it possible for people to work and make it possible for people to be cared for. And it really undermines the broader economy itself. It is the backbone. And so while politicians might be saying that people really understand that this is what is required for families to thrive and for the economy to thrive as well.
We're talking to Sandra Goldschein, the executive director of the Campaign for a Family-Friendly Economy. And we spoke in the last hour with Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren, and we closed on a note about infrastructure, that we've talked a lot about roads and bridges and internet and things like that. But there's also the family infrastructure. There's the care infrastructure. And she talked about the necessity to again, invest in that. For anybody that says, well, are these government handouts, we're really talking about the choices you make to invest in.
93.5 The Tap. Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, hope you're having a great 4th of July weekend. A couple of special shows and then back live on the road to Trigvi Olson. What makes Wisconsin great? We'll see you then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
100 days, 144,000 minutes. The countdown to the November presidential election is on, and Maggie Dawn is counting too as she continues her special segment, Biden's Top 100.
Having heard from each and every one of you, I should start talking about what President Biden is proposing us for his second term.
Biden's Top 100 continues. You're invited to be part of it too. Call or text the Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays starting at 2, across the Civic Media Radio Network and the app.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.